What you gonna do for Easter? That's today, you know.
What?
That's today, you know.
Yeah, I know that.
All right. Before we read, I'm gonna say a few things to the folks. So hang with me for just one moment.
Okay.
Very nice to be with you all today. It's been quite a week around Christ Community Church. For one thing, we had the fire fall. I don't know if you know that, but a fire here in the 800 block. And I've been sent to give a message to our prayer team. Keep praying for the fire to fall, but not that kind of fire. And our address is just one building away. Actually, Turk's Furniture had a fire, and they were able to contain it, so we're all okay. But that's one thing that happened. We're happy to have in the house today Immaculate. Immaculate, could you either wave your hand? Immaculate is an important friend of the congregation. She's a genocide survivor from Rwanda and has told her testimony here. It's been very impactful to us, and we thank God for her. Also, we welcomed a couple of folks to the family of God. Would Tyler and Kristen wave your hand over there? Would you give them a hand of welcome, please? So here's the story on them. Tyler's been growing in his walk with the Lord, as far as I know, on his own. And he knew that the next step was baptism, so he did what everybody would do today. He got online, and he Googled, where can I get baptized near me? And our name came up. And he called us, and we set up an appointment. Mike and I visited with him and heard a little bit of their story and agreed to baptize them. And then a few other details came up before the baptism, so we said, let's delay it a week. And by the time we delayed it a week, his girlfriend Kristen wanted to join him. So they both got baptized last Sunday after church in the hot tub. And they're part of that. Welcome. So I hope you get to know them. They're delightful folks. Well, we're here to celebrate Easter, and we're going to do that a variety of ways today. We've already had breakfast. We're going to have communion a little later. You're going to hear an angle on the Easter story. And then we're going to have our community meal downstairs, like you've already heard. But so a lot of celebrating, a lot of commemorating today. And I'm going to be considerate of our time because of that. But before Liz reads, I want you to do something for me. I want you to forget, if you can, everything that you associate with Easter. Pretend no music, no happy music, no bright colors, no celebration, just the profundity of loss, just confusion, grief. And I want you to do that because that's where our story begins. But Liz reads to us this morning. Liz, John 20, verse 11.
Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher.
Thank you, Liz. Let's give Liz a hand of appreciation. Mary is crying, and she has every reason to be crying, because as far as she knows, this day is not a part of a resurrection story. For her, it's a missing body story. But before we go down that path any further, let's remind ourselves of what we've been talking about the last few weeks when we've been looking at our cardinal values as a congregation, those convictions that are foundational to our identity as a congregation. Those values are, we want to be incarnational. In other words, we want our actions to preach louder than our words, especially the way we love each other in a relational kind of way, loving God and loving each other. We're also missional. In other words, there's a cause in our lives that's bigger than me and bigger than us. God has called us on mission. And this week we were to consider the value of beautiful. That experience that compels people to see and be moved to recognize the life and love of Jesus among us and to respond in worship. We value what is beautiful. But Easter Sunday can't be a Sunday just for explaining principles or ideas. Easter Sunday is a day of declaration and celebration. Jesus is alive. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. It's not something just to think about, it's something to experience, because if you don't feel it, you're not going to recognize the beauty and the hope of the reality of resurrection. So what I want to do this morning is I want to walk us through the days leading up to Easter, not just so that we can understand those days better, but so that we can actually feel them, so that we can connect to the story, not just with our minds, but with our hearts. And along the way, we'll learn what it is when we say that we value beauty and what is beautiful. So let me ask you, do you remember the sounds and the sights and the feelings of Easter from your childhood? It's not too hard for me to look back and remember some of them. I remember noise, happy noise, kids running, laughing, playing. I remember colors, Easter egg colors, pastels. I remember, I don't know if it was mom or dad waking us up early on Easter morning and putting a new little suit jacket on me that matched my brother's suit jackets because we were going to go to the sunrise service. I know that the jacket was brightly colored. After all, Easter's that unofficial time of year when you break out the spring clothes and wear bright colors, even white shoes. I had some of those for a while. I remember the excitement of meeting up with cousins and friends, not just to watch the sunrise, but to share a church service followed by breakfast together. Not only breakfast, before we went home, there was always an Easter egg hunt. To me, Easter felt like happiness and joy. For many, it still does. Many still go to church with their families, have a meal together in the afternoon, dip their hands in that bowl of chocolate that somebody set out. Billions of dollars are spent this year trying to celebrate Easter. But what's strange about that and ironic is that the first Easter felt nothing like that. The days leading up to and including Easter were characterized by a lot of crying, desperate crying, ugly crying. For example, desperate cries could be heard on Palm Sunday. A hopeful crowd was crying out, "Hosanna!" In other words, God saves. They were anticipating Jesus to save them. They were looking for a rescue. Maybe like crowds in our world today still look for rescue. Maybe some of you saw that in Tehran a few weeks ago. Later in the week on Thursday, Jesus himself was crying. He was crying out in prayer, and it was not a pretty or composed, dignified prayer. It was save my life, desperate prayer. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Give me a different path. Jesus' cry was ugly, noisy, gut-wrenching. His very survival was at stake. Three times he prayed that prayer. Soon, Jesus was arrested in that garden. He was taken to the Roman governor, Pilate, who gave him a mock trial and set him in front of the crowd, offering him to release him or a different inmate. He was hoping that they would receive Jesus. But they had no more use for Jesus. They cried out, "Hosanna," one day. And just a few days later, they were saying, "Crucify him. We have no more use for him. Let him go. We'll take the guy who's willing to use force." On Friday, as Jesus hung on the cross, he was heard crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" A little later, he was heard crying, "I'm thirsty." Before finally saying, "It's finished." Do you hear the long series of cries in the weeks leading up to Easter? Agonizing cries, treacherous cries, sorrowful and despairing cries, noisy, desperate, ugly cries. Finally, Jesus was laid to rest, and his family and friends retreated to their homes to observe the Sabbath. Sunday arrived. Easter Sunday morning did not start out to be a happy morning for Mary. She wasn't hurrying to a joyful breakfast. She was alone in the dark and making her way to Jesus' tomb. She's not dressed in bright colors of Easter. She's dressed for burial rites, burial rituals. The scripture says, our text says, that early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him. Peter and John ran to the tomb and verified for themselves that Jesus' body wasn't there. And they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were sleeping. Staying, I mean. I'm losing my voice, I'm sorry. But Mary, she stayed in the garden. And Mary was crying. Mary's cry was a broken-hearted cry, a wailing cry, according to the original language. Loud, again, gut-wrenching, sobbing, dark and ugly. No wonder it was ugly, because she had witnessed the crowd turn on her best friend, Jesus, abandoning him to the merciless hands of Pilate. She had seen the brutality. She had heard the whip snap as it went to Jesus' back. She smelled the blood. She'd lived through the injustice of it all. She'd heard about the betrayal by one of his best friends, a kiss from one of his own, Judas. What a devastating, senseless, even stupid act. The angels asked her, why are you crying? They've taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they've put him. In other words, insult had been added to injury. Even the chance to properly mourn was now being taken from her. Then she turned and saw someone standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she pleads, sir, if you've carried him away, just tell me. Tell me where you've put him, and I'll get him. She's desperate now. She's been reduced to begging. There's something just deeply wrong, humiliating, about having to beg for the dead body of someone you love. Then Jesus said one word, Mary. And with one word, everything suddenly changed. Her darkness turned to light. Despair turned to hope. Grief turned to celebration. Emptiness turned to fullness. Ugly turned to beautiful. Mary's cry was transformed from the ugly cry of tragedy to the beautiful cry of reunion. You've seen those cries, those stories of military people coming home early and surprising their family, and they burst into tears with joyful reunion. She cried out, Rabboni, which means teacher. She wasn't referring to the memory of like your third grade teacher. She's talking about the one who taught her all of the issues of life that gave her a reason to live. The one, the only one who had the words of eternal life. And now we see that this story has brought us to a familiar place. We see a man and a woman in a garden, and it's the first day of a brand new beginning. Creation is happening again. Lives can now move from the dark, formless chaos of pre-creation towards the beauty and the goodness of it is very good. So what is beauty? Beauty is that moment that stops you, where you don't just see the thing, you feel something resonating in your heart and soul. This is beautiful. It pulls something out of you. It might be a delighted gasp. Oh. It might be a tear, a whisper, or one word, Rabboni. Responding to what is beautiful has been part of the Bible story from the very beginning. Do you know who in the Bible first saw beauty and was compelled to respond? The first praiser, the first worshiper, was God himself. All there was before him was darkness and formlessness and voids. And God said, let there be light. And there was. And God said, man, that was good. Day after day, good after good, he was the first one responding to his works. You want to see something beautiful right now? See the point? Could you show us something beautiful, Benny? I want to introduce you to my newest grandchild, Luca David. He's in Germany. That's where Glenn is. Hey, go ahead. Somebody's, go ahead. You have my permission. Now, here's the reason I wanted to show you. I wasn't doing this so I could brag, really. I wanted you to see your almost involuntary response to the beautiful. That's what beautiful is. It's the thing that makes you respond in that kind of way. So we can see it in a picture like this. If you want to leave it up there the whole time, you better not. So we've seen beauty not just in like a baby being born, but in the life of our community together as well. There's been beauty in times past, and today for that matter. For example, I received a text a week and a half ago from someone who lives in Indiana. I have a friend who died in Indiana a couple months ago. I went to his funeral, and his widow was cleaning up the paperwork that he left behind. And she came across the sermon that we preached at Mark Saganovich's funeral. Anybody remember Mark Saganovich? Mark Saganovich was a defrocked priest who was isolated in his apartment, getting more and more depressed and suicidal, and in fact was checking the train schedules to see which train he wanted to be in front of. He finally told this story to a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist sent him to us because he knew that we would welcome him. And you did welcome him, and you invited him to your small groups, and we received him as a gifted teacher that he was, teaching us about the parables of Jesus. Anyway, this widow was going through the paperwork and saw that sermon and said, and texted me with these words, "I was going through some of Bob's papers, and I found a large white envelope marked Keep. It was from Ottawa. It was a copy of the memorial service for Mark Saganovich, the parable that is Mark." She writes, "I read it and wept. Beauty captured her. Beauty gave her beautiful tears. She said, it was so moving and beautiful. Bless you, Christ Community. I'm so glad that Bob and I got to know you." Seeing the beautiful ways in which Mark was loved and healed in important ways caused this woman to cry out in worship to God. That's what beauty is. Back to the garden. Mary is standing before Jesus. She's reunited with her teacher. She's home again. She was with him. And she cries again. But this time, it's the cry of joy and reunion and recognition. A cry filled with wonder at the beautiful reality that her friend and Savior was alive, standing before her and whole again, that God's life prevails over death. So why might you be crying today? Are your tears coming from delight? Are your tears coming from seeing something beautiful? Or are your tears from something of grief? Over the past year, I've cried some grief tears. This is the first Easter I've lived through without my father. And I wonder what it's like for him now. And I imagine the day when I'll see him out of the corner of my eye, and I'll turn and I'll say, "Dad, we're together again." Oh, I know I'm going to say that to the Lord too. You're checking me out, aren't you? I'm going to say, "Dad." Maybe your tears are coming from trauma, from injury to your soul, from betrayal. Are you alone in the dark and looking for Jesus like Mary was? I have good news this morning. He knows your name, and he's looking for you too. He's ready to turn your cries, our cries, from grievous separation cries to joyful reunion cries. Happy Easter. It's going to be beautiful. I wonder if you'd stand with me, please. Let's bow our heads. Father, the first thing I want to say is a declaration again. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Life wins over death. Love wins over hate. Christ is risen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the story of Mary being reunited with you. We also want to be united with you. And I pray for every person in this room that if they are experiencing a grief, any sense of separation, that you will grace them to believe today that they can be connected or reconnected to you. Lord, in our hearts we say yes to you. If your heart is saying yes to the Lord, just raise your hand. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I want to be with you. I want my tears transformed from grievous to joyful. So, Lord, we ask that your help us as individuals and as a congregation to live the life that is beautiful, that causes others to say, glory to God. Praise to God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This being the first Sunday of the month, we take communion together. And here's what I want you to understand.